Thank you so much for that great welcome. And now let me gather us together around the reading of God's Word. Today we, as I said, are in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verses 35 through 48. Luke chapter 12, verses 35 through 48. Jesus, teaching the people here, says to stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. And be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Peter said, Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all? And the Lord said, Who then is the faithful and wise manager, whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that servant says to himself, My master is delayed in coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. And that servant who knew his master's will, but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating. But the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required, and from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of that word. As I said, this is not a passage, and Luke chapter 12 is not a chapter that you would like to read when you're up at night and can't sleep. There are some very hard and concerning things that Jesus goes over here, as he is stressing the importance of staying ready. Some of us have the opinion of the Bible as just a conglomerate or a collection of thoughts that are put together. But there is a reason and a process that goes into how that Bible was put together and guarded by the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 12 is an example of that. If you look at it lightly and just hit the highlights, you might think, well, it's just a bunch of random thoughts. But if you really look deeply into what chapter 12 is saying, there is a theme of readiness that runs throughout it. We've already talked some about this chapter. We talked about the hypocrisy, and we said the hypocrisy was those who focused more on the outside things while neglecting the inner person. And we made the statement there that if we focus our energy and our attention on the outside, that the inner person and neglect the inner person, then the outside person would not stand. If that inner person is neglected, the outer person would not stand. Then it goes on to talk about having no fear of those who can just kill the body, but can also take the body and cast it into hell. Again, there was that warning of eternal judgment there. Again, a sense of readiness, because this is something that's going to happen. Then it was talking about how important it is to not deny the work of the Holy Spirit. They call it, Jesus called it blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, which scholarship has determined means a rejection. Most scholarship determined that blaspheming against the Holy Spirit is a rejection of the call of the Holy Spirit to the heart of mankind, calling us to salvation. Then we talked about the parable of the rich fool, where he spent so much time preparing and so much energy concerned with the material things that he neglected his inner man. And he had great plans for his future because he felt that he had been blessed or had been given so much, that his land had given him so much that he was going to build more barns, if you remember. And then God said, "You fool, your soul is going to be required of you tonight." And so then who is going to get all of these things that you're trying to worry about? Again, the message there was, don't be so concerned with what's around us. Be more concerned with your soul that will last forever. Then it talked about not being anxious, and it talked about how we're not to be concerned about the things that the heathens are concerned about, our clothing and how we're going to eat. And Jesus talked about how that God provides for his creation. And then he made that comment about to focus instead on the kingdom of God. And the things that you're worrying about will be added to you. They will be provided to you. Again, there's that theme of worrying about the temporary things, worrying about those material things that surround us, and not being focused on the inner person, that which will last forever. And then he comes to today's part about standing and being ready. One of the things that is floating around in the churches is, how will Christ come? And we have different ideas from different denominations about what the second coming of Christ will look like. There were some in some's hearts that there will be a secret rapture of the church and leading into a 7-year tribulation and then a 1,000-year reign of Christ. Others believe that there will be, when Christ comes, he will come, and it won't be a secret, that he will be known. Those are the two major views. And there are others in there that may be compromises of those two. And a lot of people have put a lot of energy in trying to predict when Christ would return. There was a story, if you remember, I think it may be back in the 90s, I don't remember now exactly, when this group sold all that they had. People were asking, why'd you sell it if Christ was coming back? But they sold all that they had, and they went up to a mountaintop to commune together, waiting for Jesus to come back. And then the clock ticked past the time that their leader had predicted, and then they walked back down the mountain. Know this. This is what we know. Child of God, and you who are not a child of God, if any are sitting in this congregation today or listening to us online, when you die, as far as you're concerned, Christ has returned. Let me say that again. Don't be so caught up in all of the how will Christ come back, because the day, the moment that you die, as far as you are concerned, Christ has returned. And so the emphasis here that Jesus is trying to get through to this crowd is, be ready to die. And it's such an important aspect of Jesus' ministry here that it even carries over into the first part of chapter 13. We won't go into that right now. So understand this. When we die, when we pass away, as far as we are concerned, Christ has returned. If you remember that scripture, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after that the judgment. And so Christ is saying, be prepared for that time when your life will be required of you. Your soul will be required of you. The language that he used with the rich farmer. Be ready for that time. And so he tells this parable about being ready for action. That stay dressed for action means that there was normal clothing that they wore at the time, there was an overcoat or an outer coat that maybe was down to about right here, and you heard girding your loins, where that coat was pulled up, and so the men were ready for action. They were flexible. They could move quicker when that was pulled up and girded around their loins, and so they were ready for action. And so this wording here has that in mind, to stay dressed so that you can do things, stay dressed so that you can get to work, and keep your lamps burning. Be prepared for that time when that master returns, or when, if you remember the story of the 10 ladies who, five of them, their lamps ran out of oil and they didn't have it, but the others came prepared to keep their lamps burning. And so when the wedding feast came by, they were ready to join into that wedding feast while the others were out looking for oil. Similar connotation here, that state of readiness that Jesus starts with here. And he talks about the master over a household. What he wants us to understand is that we need to stay in that state of readiness, dressed for action, like a servant who anticipates his master's return. I joke about, and I know some of you do too, about how those of us who have animals in the house, dogs especially, they're the first ones to greet us there at the door, and their tails are just a wagging. And so sometimes, you know, I joke around with my wife. I said, I wish you would meet me at the door, you know, with your tail just a wagging too, you know, like the dog does. And so that pet, you don't need to take that example any further, do you? Mary's listening. But the example is that dog was anticipating, that dog was listening, that dog wanted the master to come home. And so he's the first there, because he wants you to come home. And so he wants to be there with you. And so that's the picture that Jesus is trying to paint here for the devoted, loving servant who is anticipating the return of the master. It doesn't matter what time he comes home. He could come well into the night. He could come the next day. He could come the next week. But there's an anticipation that this servant is saying, I want to be ready to serve because of my love for my master, for the devotion that I have for my master. And I want to be ready to serve. He said, those, when the master returns, if he finds those servants in that state of readiness, the master will reward them in a very unusual way. Did you pick up on that? The master will serve them. The master will serve them, reward them for staying in that state of readiness, for having the devotion and love for him that was needed to anticipate his return and stay in that state of readiness. Jesus is painting a picture that those who follow him need to have that same kind of love and devotion in our hearts and anticipate and look forward to his return. The second thing that he talks about in this first parable is that we are to watch over our soul as you would guard your house. Another little quirk that I've noticed in Mary and my marriage is that whenever our children were younger, any little whimper by the baby, she was on it. I didn't hear it. But a bump in the night, I was on it. She didn't hear it. I don't know why that is. Maybe I was geared to protecting the house, and she's geared to providing and serving that child and protecting that child. But I noticed that. Maybe you've noticed that in your household and too. My ears are not nearly as good as they were when I was 20 years old, but I can still, for some reason, hear those bumps in the night. Those pops, those creaks, those things that may warn me that someone is trying to come in and harm us. And so I'm just all over those kinds of things. So Jesus is saying in that same state of readiness there, if you knew when the thief was coming, you could just get ready for his arrival. Well, he sends you a postcard, you know, I'm going to come rob your house at midnight on December 30th, okay? And so, you know, all up until December the 30th, I'm sleeping pretty good at night. But then December the 30th, wrong about 11 o'clock, I'm sitting there ready for action, okay? But we don't get that warning. And Jesus is saying you won't get that warning, because a thief comes to destroy. A thief comes so that you can suffer loss. And so we are to be ready have that same state of readiness and preparedness and watchfulness over our souls that we would have for our homes. Why do we have such a state of watchfulness over our homes? Because it's our sanctum. They are precious to us. I don't know if you've ever been robbed. Mary and I were robbed one time before we came here. And it's just like it strips everything from your home. Not just what was taken from your home, but the peace that you had being in that home. That someone who wanted to do you harm was in my home, was in our home, and they sought to do evil against us. And for a long time after that, there was an eerie feeling whenever we would go to bed. That they not only robbed us of material things, but they robbed us of inner peace and the contentment that we had in that house. So there's so many things that a thief takes from you when he robbed your home. And so Jesus is saying here, that thief is coming to destroy, so you don't know that time. If you knew that time, you would be ready. That good master is coming to reward you. And so what Jesus is saying is, in that same state of readiness that you would have, that preparedness for anyone who would come to seek you, to do you harm, because Christ loves us so, and we are to have that devotion to Him. We are to stay in that state of readiness to receive Him, that anticipation to be ready when He comes. He repeats that theme again because Peter's listening. And you know, old Peter, he likes to say things. And he's saying, who exactly were you talking to here about being ready? And about all these things you've been talking about, you know, was it for the disciples? Was it for us? Or are you just talking to the crowds here? But Jesus didn't answer him, did he? He starts off in another parable. Now, I want you to pay close attention to the wording of this parable, because then there's layers of authority that occur in the second parable that Jesus talks about. He talks about the master who's given authority to servants that have authority over other servants. To me, it pops out that Jesus in this parable was making specific references to those who teach and lead, as his disciples were going to be called to do once he ascended to the Father. And they were going to be pulled more fully into the work of building the church. They were going to lead congregations. They were going to teach. They were going to be the ones who started the Christian church. And so in this particular parable, there's a reference to those given charge of teaching, but also to all of us who share the gospel. So all of us who are followers of Christ in one way or another are called to impact the lives of others. Let me say that again. All of us who are called to follow Christ are called in some way to impact the lives of others. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each of the church has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. So in this parable, the master set up those who would be in authority over other servants. So there's a hierarchy here. And he says specifically that you are to give the ones under you your food, their portion of food at the proper time. And so they had a job to do. They were to feed those under them. So that again speaks into that idea of leadership in the church. And those who would take a stand for Christ and share the gospel with others, who would feed those that they come in contact with, he says, at the proper time. Now, in this particular parable, there are those that do the master's will. And then there are those who get caught up in, well, he's been going a really long time. I don't know if he's going to come back in the next few days, so I'm going to take it easy for a little while. I'm going to do the things that I want to do. Because he's been gone so long, he's probably not going to be back next week or even next month. And so here I am in charge, so I'm going to take advantage of this situation. I may have a little more generous portion of the food. I may do other things because, hey, I'm the guy in charge. He left me in charge. Didn't he say I was in charge? He did say I was in charge, didn't he? So I'm going to take advantage of my leadership. Jesus is especially hard upon those who take that kind of attitude. Like I said, this is not something you want to read if you can't go to sleep at night. Session members, deacons, Sunday school teachers, especially, and very especially this pulpit. You have come into positions of leadership, visible positions of leadership in the church. Listen to this next portion very carefully. Okay? Listen to this next portion very carefully. 2 Peter, I am stirring up your sincere mind, he writes, Peter's writing to the church, this same Peter, do you mean me? I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles, knowing this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. He's talking about the works that this pulpit and all of you in church leadership and all of you who claim Christ as Savior, all of our works will be exposed for what they were. It acknowledges that there are those that are given charge of building up the church. Give them that portion of food at their proper time, he says. Those given much insight into the kingdom have a responsibility to build up others and not tear them down. Those given insight into the kingdom have the responsibility of building others up and not tearing them down. That is our responsibility serving here at Union. It is others' responsibility as they serve in their churches. It is the responsibility of all Christ followers to build others up because we have been given insight into the kingdom of God. He says a little later on in this admonition to Peter and the disciples and to all who were there, to whom much is given, to whom much is given, much will be required. To whom much is given, much will be required. That means the more exposure we have to the gospel, the more egregious our rejection or our slothfulness to it is. The more exposure we have to the gospel. Sunday school, you grew up in Sunday school, you come to church, you hear the preaching of the word, you participate in church activities. The more exposure you have to the gospel, the more egregious it is of our slothfulness in response to it or our rejection of it. That's what that means. To whom much is given, much will be required. And so we are to take our leadership roles seriously and responsibly. Proverbs 16 says, "It is an abomination to kings to do evil, for the throne is established by righteousness. Leadership is based on truth. People depend upon their leaders to lead rightly." Why is it so devastating when policemen, teachers, pastors, when we fall into sin? Why is it so devastating? Because we are looked upon as those who teach, those who protect, those who people can come to and find solid leadership and those kinds of principles and character. We are in roles that are called to live a higher standard. And that's why it's so devastating. We've been given charge over instructing and protecting others, and those in charge are held to that higher standard. There's a warning that Jesus has. Now in Matthew 18, he's comparing the people who come into his kingdom, whether they're little children or older adults, he's comparing them to little children. And he says, you're to humble yourself and you're to come as this little child, as he sat there teaching his disciples, holding that little child. He says, you're to be like this one in your disposition, your character is what is implied there. You're to humble yourself and come to the kingdom. And he says, those who come to the kingdom in this way, that's what this verse is talking about. Matthew 18, but whoever causes one of these little ones, one who comes to the church, in other words, whether it's a child or whether it's one who comes to the kingdom as an older person in humbleness as a child, whoever causes one of these who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. I didn't make that up. That's in Scripture. Like I said, it's not a chapter you want to read when you can't sleep at night. But that is the seriousness that Jesus wanted those who heard him that day to take what he was telling them, to stay prepared, to be ready. Your thought for today is this, and it comes from a poem by C.T. Studd that I modified just a little bit. All in this life will soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. All in this life will soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. This parable implies that there's going to be hypocrites who assume positions of authority within the church. Remember what we said hypocrites were? Those who focus exclusively on the outside to make themselves look good while neglecting the inside. And again, we reiterate, if you neglect the inner person, the outer person will not stand. We've just heard the warnings about leadership within the church. We just heard the warnings about for the children of God. So you can't sit back there and say, well, I don't teach. Or I don't do all this other stuff. It covers us all, folks. But especially those who are in those categories I mentioned. It's implied that there will be those who are more concerned with satisfying the desires of the flesh without regard to strengthening and caring for the soul. And so Jesus is letting us know that the more exposed we are to the gospel, as I said, the more egregious it's going to be in rejecting it or neglecting it. But he will judge fairly. You see, I just want to touch on verse 47 and 48 quickly. What that's saying there is just really that he's going to fairly judge the unbelievers. That's all that 47 and 48 are saying there. What is he telling us? Stay ready for the Lord's return. There are so many things in this world that take our attention, take our energy. It consumes our peace. We are anxious about it. We worry over it. And just like that, the rich man that had more crops than he knew what to do with, and all of the blessings we have, how many of us spend more time trying to figure out what to do with all the stuff that we have than spend time strengthening and building up our soul? How many of us spend so much time worrying about losing the things that we have that we neglect and don't think about losing that which is most important to us, our very soul. Jesus stressed over and over and over and over in this chapter. Be ready. Stay ready. You stay ready when you are more concerned about what happens to your soul than what happens to your name it that sits out in the yard. Over and over and over. Stay ready. Stay ready. Be prepared. Anticipate. Stay ready. Be concerned with the eternal over the temporary. But what happens in the church so very often, folks, is that we're so consumed with the temporary that the eternal gets neglected. And Jesus is saying it should not be that way. Spend time on the eternal. Spend time on the eternal, because in the end, that's all you are going to have. Let me pray for you. Father, we thank you this day for reminding us in so many ways of what is important in our lives. May we heed these warnings, and may your church stand ready, anticipating your arrival, holding on to that truth, and may we be there ready to meet you with gladness and joy. That is our prayer this day in Christ. Amen.